and he lives today. How I know that? He lives within my heart. Amen. And I was telling Jalil the other day, a little illustration that I read. There was a Muslim who got saved, and his friends were very confused by that. They said, "Why in the world would you convert to Christianity? Why would you give your life to Christ?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I see it this way." He said, "If you're walking through the jungle on a path and you come to a fork in the road," he said, "there's two men there. One is dead and one is alive. Which one are you going to ask directions from?" That's good, isn't it? And we have a risen Savior, a living Lord, who we serve today and we commune with daily. We can pray to Him and we get answers from Him. And He's interested in our life. He is interested in everything that we do. And He wants the best for you and me. So let's turn to Luke chapter 24, if you will, please. Luke chapter 24. And a message today entitled, "A Heart for God or a Vision for the World." What is our vision for the world? The Lord Jesus Christ spent His last few days here on earth just explaining to His disciples what it was that they were to do and why He came and what was their purpose. And so in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, it begins to tell us, and Jesus brings it all together. He says, verse 45, "Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scripture." So now He says, now I'm going to open up your mind. Now you're going to get it. Now you're going to understand why I came and why I'm here. Verse 46, it says, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Jesus Christ here left instructions to His disciples for you and me as well, how that we should have a vision to reach the world with a gospel, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us today as we preach the message of the Word of God. Lord, may this message stir our hearts. May it help us to understand truly what You want in our lives. How, Lord, we need to have a heart for God in all that we do, and how that ought to give us a vision to reach this world with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give You the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to think just for a minute, where would you be if you had never heard the gospel? Where would you be this morning if nobody had ever taken time to present the gospel? If you'd never come to a church, you'd never heard of the Bible, you'd never heard of Jesus Christ, you never heard of the gospel, where would you be this morning? Well, I've asked people that question before and said, "Well, Brother Morrison, I'd probably be in jail or dead." I think some of us could say that this morning. Some would say, "Well, I'd just be a wicked person. I'd be living in the world and I wouldn't know any better. I'd just be in an awful place." Well, I can tell you this for sure. If someone had not told me or told you about Jesus Christ, for sure we'd be separated from God. We'd be living without His help, without any hope of eternal life. We'd be facing the prospect of His righteous judgment after death. We'd be facing hell for all of eternity. That's where we would be this morning if we had never had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we had never been introduced to the gospel. Now, sadly, though, that's where most of the people in the world are today. When we think of the world's population, over 7 billion that we live in today, most of those people have never really heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Oh, they may have heard the name of Jesus. They may have heard of the Bible. They may have heard of some story somewhere in the past. A few years ago, I was in Cambodia, and we went to Angkor Wat, which is a great temple there, Buddhist temple. They're one of the greatest, biggest, largest temples in that part of the world. And we came to one statue. There's millions of statues all throughout that complex. We came to one statue, and it looked like Jesus on the cross. And I asked Pastor Seahawk, who's been here, he was taking us through. I said, "Seahawk, I said, that looks like a crucifixion." He said, "Oh, Brother Marshall," he said, "most Buddhists have heard the name of Jesus. They just don't know who He is or what it's all about." Most people in this world live today in total darkness of what the Bible and God and the Scriptures and Jesus can do in their lives and how He can change who they are. The very hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. And the hope that this world has is in Jesus Christ. For He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yet many have never even heard of Him or heard His name. I was preaching in Cambodia several years ago, and I asked that very question before I began to preach. Out in a little village that Lomer and Seahawk had taken me to, and there were about 300 people gathered there, and I simply asked the question, how many here have ever heard the name of Jesus? And one person in that crowd raised their hand. So many today are without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're without ever hearing a true presentation of the gospel. This is why believers must have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and a vision for the world. The last direction that Christ gave us and gave us as the church are simply this in Luke 24 and verse 48 there. You are witnesses of these things. He said, you've seen what I've done. You've seen what has occurred. I've told it and I've explained it to you. Now it is your responsibility to take these things to the rest of the world. Like them, we must remember that whenever God plants a vision in our hearts, He has a purpose and a blessing in mind. He has a purpose for what He does in your life. He has a purpose for having you here this morning. You heard in the testimony of Jalil how that God, even though he was a Muslim in Morocco, God was directing him every step of the way, and God was bringing him into a place where he would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and would he accept Him and then be sent back to reach those Muslims in that country. God has a purpose and God has a plan in every one of our lives. Now, if we'll take the first step of obedience, the Lord will lead us to the second and will provide every need that we have and will make sure that we have opportunities to share the gospel wherever we go. Now, what does then a true vision of the world produce in your mind? As we see here in Luke chapter 24, what will it do for you and what will it bring in your heart? Well, I believe a true vision of the world, first of all, produces several things. First of all, it develops or produces a desire to know Him. To know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The fellowship of His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. When you have a heart for God, you experience an insatiable desire to know Him and know who He is. Now, it's not a matter of learning facts about Him or filling your head with different facts of Him, but it's rather a pursuit of an increasingly personal relationship with Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. And that's what Paul was saying, to know Him and who He is. Moses had a great desire to know the Lord. Moses, in leading those children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, Moses would meet with God, and their relationship grew and grew until finally one day in Exodus, Moses said, Lord, show me Thy glory. Show me who You really are. And in Moses' life, his desire to know God developed in him a desire to express his own sin and his own knowledge and his own helplessness before God, realizing that only God could work through him and only God could empower him to do the work. We must develop in our life a desire to know Him and who He is, letting God develop in us the real power that we need to serve Him. But secondly, a real true vision of the world should produce in us a desire to obey Him. It's not enough just to know who He is and to know about Him, but it should produce in our life a real desire to obey Him. The night before His crucifixion, Jesus told His disciples, if ye love Me, keep My commandments. Do what I've told you to do. He said over in John, He also said, I have given you an example. Now go and do as I have done unto you. Do what I showed you to do. Follow My example in your living and in your life. Obey what I've given to you. Genuine love for Christ always results in obedience. Genuine love for Christ results in us wanting, having a desire to truly live for Him and serve Him. As a believer, you should always be fully surrendered to His will in every aspect of your life. A true vision of the world will give us a desire to obey Him and His commands to us. But also, a true vision of the world should produce in us a desire to share Him with someone else. If we are genuinely devoted to Jesus, you'll want to tell others about what He's done in your life and how He can change their life as well. See, Jesus Christ did not develop in us a private faith. It's not a secret society, but it's something that we are to share with others. Instead, we are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me illustrate that this morning very simply, and I think you'll get this. Suppose that this morning, or maybe this afternoon, we're having a funeral. Your best friend has passed away. Whoever your best friend might be, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a friend you have in the world, but they passed, and this afternoon we're having their funeral. Their casket, their coffin is sitting down front. The pastor's here behind the pulpit. Your friends are gathered here to console you and their family and so on. And in the middle of the service, the coffin opens. And your friend sits up straight and looks around and says, "What you all so sad for?" And jumps out of the casket and comes over and hugs you. What would you do? Most of us would, wouldn't we? Most of us, after going home and changing our underwear or getting up off the floor after fainting, probably several would have heart attacks. We'd go tell everybody, wouldn't we? I can guarantee you tomorrow at work, you'd be telling everybody you saw. You wouldn't believe what happened yesterday. You just would not believe. Now, they probably wouldn't believe you, but you'd tell them anyway. And you'd try to convince them in some way. I was there. I saw it happen. There were other witnesses that were there, and we saw it happen. It occurred. Now, don't you think the fact that we serve a living Savior who rose from the grave and who lives today in our hearts, don't you think we ought to have that same excitement to go tell somebody else about Him and what He did? That's the way it ought to be in our life. It ought to be so exciting to us and so thrilling to us and so fresh and so new in our life that every day we want to tell somebody else what Jesus did in our life and what Jesus did in our heart. And we ought to want the whole world to know what Jesus did. And every effort and every ability and everything we have within us, every fiber of our being, should want to press forward in helping the world know about Jesus Christ. That's what a true vision in our life will give us. That's what a true heart for God will cause us to want to do. Now, God intends for every person to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants everyone in the world to hear about Him. Remember that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God wants the whole world to know who He is and what He did for them and to know the truth about His death, burial, and resurrection. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and verse 5, it tells us, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." It is truly clear that Jesus Christ wants every person in the world to hear about Him and what He can do for them, how He can change their life, forgive their sin, and give them an eternal home in heaven. Jesus wants the world to know. He's patiently waiting for everyone to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we beg and beg and we preach about Jesus coming again, and Jesus is patiently waiting. Wait a minute, there's more that need to be saved. He tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness." That's the promise of His coming. He's not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness, "but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Because Jesus paid our sin debt, we have been given a lifelong obligation to spread the good news of the gospel. Jesus saved you. He washed your sin away. Your sin, past, present, and future, is forgiven. And that gives us an obligation, a responsibility to tell the rest of the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even unto the uttermost part of the earth, the Bible says, we're to go to spread this good news of Jesus Christ. Now, although God is the only one who can open a person's heart for the gospel, the job is still ours to tell. It's our responsibility. You know, every testimony I think that I've ever heard or can ever remember hearing, you understand there's some type of human contact to bring someone to Jesus Christ. You listen to Jalil's testimony and how those different people in his life kept bringing him to the place where he heard of Jesus and who he was. You think of Aldo. He'll give his testimony later this week, and you'll hear in that testimony how it was someone, a preacher, who came and knocked on his door and presented to him the gospel and was bold enough to preach the gospel to him. I remember hearing the testimony of a young man who was here before, Andrew Zimbiti, from Malawi, Africa. And he tells the story of how he was a very devout, quote-unquote, Christian. In other words, he went to church. He was in the Anglican church. He went, sang in the choir. He participated in the services, but he wasn't saved. He had never accepted Christ. He never read the Bible. He didn't know what the Bible said. The Anglican priest never really preached the gospel. And yet one day somebody gave him a Bible and said, why don't you read this and find out what it's really all about? Andrew began to go through that scripture and began to study the scriptures, and God began to reveal himself to him. But Andrew would say, listen, it was that one who gave me the scriptures. He said there was a personal contact with someone that God put in my life to bring me to the place of salvation. And you listen to people's testimonies. You think about your own life. How did you come to Christ? It wasn't through some miraculous miracle. It wasn't through some miraculous vision. No, it was somebody who came to you and gave you a tract. Or somebody invited you to church. Or somebody sat down with you and showed you the scripture of how you needed to be saved. There was some personal contact. Someone personally took time to share with you the gospel and to bring you to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God could write the message in the sky. God could send the angels to do the evangelistic work for us. But no, He's entrusted you and me. We are the ones that are to spread the gospel, the good news, wherever we go. Jesus, or God Himself, truly does the work of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And He sends that power and He sends that conviction. But we are the ones that go and we are the ones that tell the message of Jesus Christ. Now, God's plan is simply this. Missions. God's plan is missions. Since the Lord Jesus Christ tasked believers with the message, we know He has a plan to accomplish it, and it involves every one of us, and it involves three things in our life. If we're to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, there are three things that it involves in our life. First of all, it involves the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the one who offered His life as a substitutionary atonement for our sins. By His divine authority, Jesus commanded us to tell others about His offer of forgiveness. Jesus is the one who gave Himself. He's the one who set this plan in motion. Jesus is the one who started the whole thing by coming, living a sinless life, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and He's the one that went to the cross and offered for you and me the free gift of salvation. He offers forgiveness. Jesus is the one who started it. But secondly, it also involves the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Knowing that this job is beyond us, it's more than we could ever do, it's beyond our human ability to really carry this forward, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the Holy Spirit to live within us and to give us the power and equip us with what we need to carry the gospel, to carry out this track and this task and to witness to the world. Luke chapter 24, again in verse 49, there it tells us, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, what is that promise? Well, that's the promise of His power and the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so the Lord Jesus Christ involved Himself from the beginning when He died on the cross. And then He gives us the power and the equipping of the Holy Spirit that we need to carry out this task. And then He reveals to us the plan. Now, what is the plan? Well, because God loves everyone on the earth, He desires no place be left unevangelized. No corner of the earth should be left without hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The plan was set in motion with just 12 men. Who faithfully led thousands to salvation and thousands to Christ. And today, millions of people know of the Lord Jesus Christ because they were faithful to do the job and the task that God had given them to do. And we today need to carry on in that tradition and carry on in the plan that God has revealed to you and me, how that we should go forward and tell this world of Jesus Christ, to have a true vision of what this world needs to hear. And that's the plan of the Lord Jesus, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, How can you be a part of this plan? That's what it all boils down to. How are you going to be a part this week of help spreading the gospel around the world? Well, I think there's four things that's a part of this plan. Number one, to have a vision for the world, not just your own city. Now, it's important to reach our families. It's important to reach our friends. It's important to reach across the street. As the theme of this conference says, around the corner and around the world. So it is just as important to reach to other parts of the world where maybe you never will have an opportunity to go, or maybe you'll never have an opportunity to set foot, but you can help send men like this that'll go places you and I could never go. You know, I think if I tried to go to Spain and work among the Muslims in the Moroccan Muslims there, I'd end up one or two things that happened. They'd either kill me or I'd be an absolute total failure. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to begin. Now, I'm sure God could empower me. God could help me. But you know, God's called somebody that's a whole lot better equipped than I am. And I can help him. I can encourage him. I can pray for him. I can support him. See, God has a plan. Our vision for the world should include the world and not just our city. It needs to go beyond just our small border here. Secondly, we need to respond obediently by praying for the missionaries. God tells us in, I believe it's John chapter 9, that pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We're commanded to pray that God would continually send people. Now, many times when we pray that God would send those into the mission field and God would send forth laborers, you know, we think of American missionaries. Well, if we pray and we pray enough, maybe God will send somebody in our church or God will send some young person and they'll go. Well, that's good, but what about if we pray and pray and then God sends someone halfway around the world that we've never heard of before, a young person or a pastor or a missionary from another country to go someplace and preach the gospel? I remember when we first went to Cuba. The first time I was there, we met an old farm couple, and they were from the Valley of Benialis. Benialis, I'm telling you, brother, I got to take you there sometime, Brother Wade. It's just beautiful. I mean, you've seen beautiful things in Cuba, but the Valley of Benialis is just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It's just something special about it. And they were from this valley, and in this valley, there's a farm community. And they were part of this farming community there. And this old farm couple, we talked to them, we led them to Christ. They accepted Christ as their Savior. They said, hey, you've got to come tell our family and our friends, our community, you've got to come tell them what you told us. We want them to hear about Jesus too. And so we made our plans to go down in that valley, and we weren't even really supposed to be down there in that place at this time. This was back in 1997. Things were a lot tighter and a little more controlled at that time. But we made our way down in that valley. We met with those farming people, some of the poorest people I believe I've ever met. They worked on the farms there. Basically owned by the government. They worked it with horse and with oxen. They had no farm machinery, no tractors or anything like that. They did it all by hand. They had no electricity, no running water. They lived just basically off what they could there. They made no money. They told me, said, Brother Marshall, said, we're so poor, said, we steal from ourselves so we can survive. I said, what in the world are you talking about? They said, Brother Marshall, so we plant the crops and we cultivate the crops and we get them ready. And at harvest time, the government workers come through and they harvest all the crops and they take it with them. And they leave us nothing. And so before they come, many times we'll go in the field and we'll steal some of the crops. They called it stealing it because it belonged to the government. And said, we'll hide it back so we'll have something for the year to eat. That's how poor these people were. And we preached that day. About 40 or so people gathered there in that little hole, but sitting in the windows, hanging out the doors. They were everywhere. And I think 35 that day received Christ as Savior. Oh, listen to me, friend. You don't know what God will do to send somebody, to reach somebody else with the gospel. Well, as time went on, more and more people got saved. And several years ago, I went back to that little village. And they were building their own little church. And they were getting things. They were just excited. And the old farmer said, you know, everybody in this village now, in this community, has been saved. I said, praise the Lord. Now I had the interpreter explain that so I know exactly what he's saying. He said, no. He said, every adult in this community has now accepted Christ as their Savior. I said, man, that's great. I think that he said there's about 70 or so adults there in that village. I said, that's tremendous. I said, now, wait a minute. Is there another farming community on over the way here just like this one? He said, yeah, there is. I said, have they ever heard of Jesus Christ? He said, I don't know. I said, why don't you send somebody over there to tell them? And boy, the light came in his eyes, and he said, boy, that's a great idea. I never thought of that before. And now there's a little missionary who's going over to that community, and he's telling them about Jesus Christ. You see, that's the way it works, folks. It's not just America or just some industrialized nations that do it. It's every Christian being involved in every aspect of telling somebody else of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, we need to have a vision, not just our little city, a vision of the world. Secondly, we must respond obediently by praying for missionaries. Third, we must clearly proclaim Christ's message of redemption. That means you and me and every Christian must be a part of telling somebody else of the Lord Jesus Christ and telling them what Jesus Christ did in their heart. Listen, every Christian needs to be involved in both going and giving. It needs to be a part of our life, our daily life, of just letting others know what Christ has done in our life. You say, well, Brother Marshall, I just don't know how to say it, and I don't know what to say it. Let's just carry some tracts in your pocket. And when you come to somebody, just give them a tract and say, would you at least read it? That, everybody can do that. Well, they might laugh at me. Well, so what? You're going to live in heaven for eternity. Don't you want them to be there too? If they turn to Christ, they won't laugh at you any longer. They'll be thankful you gave them that tract. And then number four, support those who are called to the mission field. Financially support them. And I know you do here, and you're doing a great work. And we appreciate it, Now Ministries, all that you do in helping these men. Brother Wade's been so involved in the work there, and you folks too. And some of you have been to Costa Rica. You've been to the mission field. You've seen what God's doing. And I just pray and continue doing what God would have you to do. Hey, listen, let's have a vision, a heart for God that gives us a vision for the world so the world can be reached. Now, God's plan is working. All over the globe, there are people being saved. Churches are being established. Missionaries are being sent out. Not just from America. I mean, in places you've never even heard of before. When I started Now Ministries, I started hearing about countries I never knew existed. And now we have works there. And we have places that were unreached before. Now we have missionaries in some of those places preaching the gospel. Several years ago, I was in Cambodia. And I went to preach one night for a man by the name of Nok Pek. And he's a Cambodian pastor there. And he came to pick me up at the hotel. Picked me up in a tuk-tuk. You remember the tuk-tuks, don't you? The little motorcycle with a bench seat on the back of it where you can sit. And he came to pick me up, and I rode with him in that tuk-tuk back toward his church. And so I asked him, I said, tell me your story. How did you become a pastor? How did you get saved? Man, he just began to lay it out. He said, Brother Marshall, he said, I lived in a little village in Cambodia. He said, far away from Phnom Penh. He said, I'd never heard of church, never heard of Jesus. He said, I was a Buddhist. He said, my father was a Buddhist and my grandfather was a Buddhist monk. He said, we were very devout in that religion, in our little village in which we lived. He said, but one day, he said, a Christian businessman from Australia came to my village. And he said, that Christian businessman was in charge of building a factory. And it was for the purpose of helping our village and to give us some economic help and so on. And it was going to hire many people within our village. And he said, every day I watched that Christian businessman. He said, I didn't know he was a Christian. Didn't realize what he was. But I watched him, and he would sit down to lunch, and every day he would start reading this book. Well, I got interested. I spoke a little bit of English, and he said, I began to ask him, what book are you reading? And the Australian businessman said, I'm reading the Bible. And he said, it intrigued me. And that Australian businessman began to tell me about what the Bible said and what Christ had done in his life. And he said, after several weeks, he said, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Through an Australian businessman in Cambodia, in a little village that none of us have even heard of. He said, then I knew God was doing a special work in my life. He said, my family threw me out. He said, they disowned me. They didn't want anything to do with me. He said, especially my grandfather, who was a Buddhist monk. He said, he just made it difficult for me. But he said, I knew I needed to reach them. He said, so I began to study. He said, I had no formal Bible school. I had no formal training in the scripture. He said, I just began to read the Bible. And I just began to tell people what Jesus revealed to me through the Bible. And he said, through that, I started a little church in the village. And people started getting saved and lives were changed. He said, pretty soon, all five of my brothers accepted Christ as Savior. He said, they started attending the church, and I started training them and teaching them what I had learned. And he said, they began to start churches. Now three of them are pastors in Cambodia as well. He said, not long after that, he said, finally, my mother and my father accepted Christ as Savior. He said they came to Christ, and what a joyous thing it was. And that church began to grow. He said, and soon I realized I needed more training and needed more help. He said, I came then to Phnom Penh. He said, I went to Bible college and got more training so I could help more men in the ministry. And he said, that's why I have my church in Phnom Penh here now. He said, and several years ago, my grandfather, before he passed away, accepted Christ as Savior. A Buddhist monk. Now, that wasn't because some missionary from America spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to train and get ready and go to... No, that was an Australian businessman who God used because he had a heart for God and he had a vision for the world. Went to Cambodia and took a young teenager and told him about Christ and waited in his heart. And God used that young man to start a great church movement in Cambodia. God can use you just the same. God wants to use you as believers. We have three responsibilities in our life when it comes to missions. Now, you can enter the mission field. Every one of us need to, either across the street or around the world. God's calling you to one or the other. You need to be a missionary. Charles H. Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Secondly, you can financially support those who go. There are missionaries just like Jahani, just like Jaleel, and just like Aldo and others who need your help, need your support. Without it, they cannot do the work. You know that. And then third, you can pray without ceasing that God would use them and God would give them souls. Every Christian needs to be responsible and involved in doing those three things. And if we will, we can reach the world for Jesus Christ. The plan can be carried out. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Brother Marshall, I've never been support. Without it, they cannot do the work. You know that. And then third,